Greetings to all this morning. Doesn't look like our pep talk that we gave on Wednesday night or that you gave on Sunday did much good, did it, Ted? The front rows are pretty empty. So if any of you are inspired to move forward, we welcome you to do that. Well, Brother Carl, without a doubt, I hope you realize that the Song of the Month was in direct agreement with the theme this morning, and I will not deter from it either. I'm in a quandary at times as to what I should preach about. One of the things that lays heavy upon me, as I'm sure most of you know, that I'm very concerned that the church is up to date concerning where we are in time. And that, of course, leads me to try to explain and to teach and preach concerning things to come and our future that lies before us, which is quite evident today that we are at the door. But then I also think about, as Brother Denny would put it in years gone by, to put the jelly on the lower shelf that younger ones might be able to reach it. I know when I speak concerning some of the heavier prophetic things out of Daniel and Revelation and various other scriptures, I may speak over the heads of some. And I don't always want to do that. So this morning, may we turn to the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 13. Matthew 7, verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate. Excuse me, maybe we could, those of you who want to, can stand to your feet at the reading of the word. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken unto him of a wise man that built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Shall we bow our heads in prayer? Our eternal God, we come before you in the very simple and profound scripture that you have quoted while you were here on earth. And Matthew wrote it down and gave it to us to understand and to hear. And you have given us the Holy Spirit, we trust, to give us a proper and right interpretation of this simple message, of which many can be taken out of this portion. I want to thank you for another day that you have given us in these end times, that we could gather here unhindered by no authorities at the door hindering us from coming together. That's a blessing. And I pray, dear God, we are a privileged people without a shadow of a doubt in my mind. Great are our privileges. And that we want to use them and buy them out and exercise them to the glory of God and for the furtherance of the kingdom. I pray, dear God, would you bless your word to that end, which in weakness is given this morning from my heart. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Turn to page 420 in the Christian hymnary. Now, as a young boy, this song, I learned it in High German first, Das sind zwei Wege in dieser Zeit, der eine ist schmal, der andere breit. There are two ways in this our time, one narrow and the other broad. Who now will go the narrow way will be despised by all abroad. Shall we sing the first two verses of this song? There are two ways in this our day, one narrow and the other broad. Who now will go the narrow way will be despised by all abroad. This plainly God's word teaches us, the narrow entrance way go in. Straight is the gate, who enter thus must first endure great suffering. Thereafter there's eternal rest. Therefore, O man, thy way prepare. Wilt thou be in God's kingdom blessed eternally with righteous there? After this time naught shall transpire, but peace and joy eternally. The righteous then shall inquire, who God's will honor constantly. Amen. It was a song that made an impression on my young life as a boy. I would say probably quite a time before I actually became reality, when I looked at those two ways and made my choice which way that I wanted to go. Enter ye in at the strait gate. Enter ye in at the strait gate. I want you to recognize this morning, as an overview of the scripture I read, of the great contrasts that are in these verses over and over again, even though My message will be centered more on 13 and 14, on the gate, straight gate and the narrow way. They are vivid, the contrast here that is given. There are two gates, a wide and narrow, or a broad and narrow. There are two destinies, life and destruction. Great contrast between the two, not running side by side. There are two crowds, the many and the few. There are two trees, the good and the corrupt. There are two fruits, the good and the bad. There are the hearers and the doers. Great contrast. There are two builders, the wise and the foolish. And there are two foundations, the rock and the sand. And there are two houses, the one that stood and the one that fell. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. The word straight does not mean, as I understand in the Greek, to be a way that has no curves or is not crooked at any place. But rather it's another word that means hedged in, or narrow, or close together. So when we first of all recognize that the gate is straight, we believe that conversion and regeneration are the gate. Jesus said, I am the door. If any man enter in, he must enter in by me. And so we must enter into, and as Brother Denny says, there is a gate and a way. And don't misunderstand that this morning. I believe there's far too many professed Christians that believe in only having a gate. And they try to enter in a very simple way. And I'm sorry, but it appears like for many it's a broad way or a broad gate, not a narrow one, as the Scripture teaches us by the words of the Lord. So we enter into the gate, and then into the way, our entire life, in which we begin a life of faith and serious godly living. Out of a state of sin into a state of grace we must pass by the new birth, according to John 3, verse 3 to 5, that we must be born again. And that's what we're talking about by entering into the gate. There is a straight gate. It's not necessarily so easy to find and hard to get through, which I'll illustrate a little later on, maybe. Like a passage between two rocks, described a little bit in 1 Samuel 14:4. There must be, this morning, if you would enter in a new heart, there must be a new spirit. Old things must pass away. The bent of the soul must be changed. Corrupt habits and customs broken off. And may I add, for many, even religious ways in which they have been brought up. What we have been doing all our days must be undone again. We must swim against the stream. Much opposition must be struggled with, broken through from without and from within. Let me emphasize that. We must enter in and struggle against and break through from the things without in our lives and the things within. It's easier to set a man against all the world than against himself. He can cut off and resist certain things outside there. But how about the things that are going on in self-life, in his own life? It is a straight gate. For entering into it, we must stoop. We cannot go in just openly, freely. We must become, as the scripture says, as little children. If we don't, we cannot even see the kingdom of God. High thoughts must be brought down. Nay, we must strip. We must deny ourselves. We must put off the world and the flesh and the devil. We must put off the old man. We must be willing to forsake all for the interest in Christ. The gate is straight to all, but to some, it of course may be straighter than others. The reason I say this is for young people or children to come to that age and choose, make that choice, before they have a life of sin. The gate does not seem as straight or as narrow as it does who has had no good upbringing and good discipline in their life. But nevertheless, they still must come and squeeze through the narrow gate and not just easily come in. We must put off the world, put off the old man. We must be willing to forsake all for our interest in Christ. Yes, the gate is straight. Blessed be God. It is not shut up, nor locked against us, nor kept with a flaming sword, as it will be shortly, according to Matthew 25, when the bridegroom came and entered into the wedding, and the door was shut. And so there is a time in the future, very clearly, that the door will be shut. And while it is still available to open up to us today, we must take heed earnestly to enter in by the door. The door. Jesus Christ is the door into the sheepfold, into the way to walk, the way of holiness. Secondly, the way is narrow. We are not in heaven as soon as we enter through the gate, the straight gate. We're not in Canaan as soon as we cross the Red Sea, but rather go through times of tribulation and wilderness experiences at time. We, in order to travel the narrow way, we are hedged in on that way. I've done a lot of meditating for some reason over these past weeks on this narrow way and the broad way. Not just the narrow gate, how we enter in, and the broad way, which is so easy to walk in, but a narrow way of life and a broad way. Because I see so much Christianity that appears to be Broadway Christianity. Not at all the narrow way. Not at all the self-denied, cross-bearing way. But where you just enjoy life and you go after the pleasures and the enjoyments of the flesh and walk down a Broadway thinking and being taught by false teachers and preachers misleading the people that they're on the narrow way. But I perceive, according to the words of Jesus, that they are not on the narrow way. I want you to see the contrast. There's a divine law that's all inclusive, and that makes the way narrow. Self must be denied. The body must be kept under, as the scripture said, they that walk after the flesh shall die. and those that walk after the Spirit shall live. The body must be kept under. Corruptions must be mortified. Mortify the deeds of the flesh that's in your body. They are as the right eye that has to be plucked out. They are as the right hand that must be cut off. Understand that allegorically. Daily temptations must be resisted. Duties must be done that are perhaps against our own inclination, that maybe we don't feel like doing them sometimes, but the Spirit of God motivates us to do them according to His Word. We must endure hardness. We must wrestle and be in agony. And I would like to emphasize again, in this our day, we wrestle not just against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. We are bombarded with the reports of it on a daily basis, it seems, around us. We must watch in all things and walk with care and circumspection, as Paul teaches us in the New Testament. We must go through much tribulation. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The bodies we carry about us, they are the corruptions remaining in us, make the way of our duty difficult. But as the understanding we grow more and more sound, it will open and enlarge and grow more and more pleasant. Now I have to say that at nearing 74 years of age, that looking back at my Christian life, and we're hearing an awful lot the last number of months about privileged, especially the last couple of weeks, and I consider, and I wish I know I could spend the rest of my time, an hour, and talk about the privileges that God has given me to walk the narrow way. If I contrast them with friends and relatives and acquaintance and neighbors and fellow workers that have made the choice to walk the broad way, the contrast is so great that if I might have in my youth thought it was kind of hemmed in and a little narrow and a little tight to walk this way, which I probably struggled with that a few times in life, as the older I get, I recognize that I'm one of the most privileged men that I know, that have, for the privilege that God has given me, to walk the narrow way, to enter in at the narrow gate, and then enter, walk the narrow way. I wish I could have the time to give all those thoughts that I've had in the past weeks on the privilege of the narrow way and how good it's been. Thirdly, the gate must be so straight and the way so narrow that only few there be that find it. Isn't that an amazing thing? For such an opportunity that God has given, such a blessed life, as I look backwards, offered to the person that makes these choices, and we have to finally conclude that only a few will find it and choose it. Many pass by it, look at it many days or hours, and somehow recoil and decide, I don't want to pay the price. I don't want to give in to the lusts of my flesh and the desires of the flesh and the mind. And they look at the door, they look at the gate, they see how narrow it is, and therefore they pass by. Through carelessness, they will not be at any great effort or pains to find it. They don't want to change their way. Others look upon it but shun it. They like not to be so limited and restrained. Those that are going to heaven are but few compared to those that are going to hell. And there's only two ways. And we must choose, Brother Carl, which way we're going to go. A remnant, a little flock, like the grape gleanings of vintage, as the eight that were saved in the ark back in the book of Genesis. But the narrow way leads to life, to present comfort in the favor of God, which is the life of the soul, to eternal bliss in eternity, the hope of which at the end of our way should reconcile us to all the difficulties and inconveniences of the road. May I say again, they seem so small, even though we did not have the hard life of the great persecution times that exists in history and in the world today in many Islamic countries and many others, those that have endured the Bolshevik Revolution and the communist regime in China and Russia and other places. Yet I have to say, there were difficulties, there were oppositions, there were unpopular times in my life with the crowd that seemed and the neighbors and the school children and what have you around me. Inconveniences, definitely. You had to go extra miles because you were on the narrow way in order to bypass the broad way and the influences thereof. Without a doubt, don't hesitate to go the extra miles, do the extra travel, and all the necessities of life that may be laid upon you in the realities of modesty and godliness in life, to go the extra mile to not walk the broad way and not have the influences of the broad way rub off on you. Today, in Christianity, in churches aplenty, I see people, perhaps they may have gone in the narrow way, the gate, and then veer off and begin to walk through the influences around them to walk the broad way. And they do so boldly, not fearing what shall come upon them. As the scripture says, it is the way of destruction. The way of destruction. The gate is straight and the way narrow, and it's uphill. But 1 hour in heaven, or may I say perhaps just inside the gate, it will seem worth it all. And we'll not regret any of the things that we let go and denied ourselves of in order to walk that narrow way. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. The scripture says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 26 says, ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. 27, turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Isaiah 35, verse 8, and a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. Now, may I just reminisce a little bit on Pilgrim's Progress that John Bunyan wrote. It is the most popular book ever written, I understand, except for the Bible. Excuse me, I have another sheet here that I want to look for. And I looked for my copy. I thought I had it, and I wasn't able to find it in my bookshelf. And so I'll just have to give of my memories of reading it years ago. And I think I once listened to the tapes that had it illustrated or animated or whatever, some there. But Pilgrim, as I remember, he left his family and they were screaming and crying and begging him not to go. And he had this huge burden on his back. And he wanted to find that narrow gate. He wanted to find reality in life. And I can't remember all the details that gave that rose up in his heart and gave that desire. But he found that narrow way, that narrow gate, but he saw that he had to unburden himself. He had to let go of the load that was upon his back. And that was a load of sin. And it illustrated, and John Bunyan was in prison when he wrote this, I understand, and suffered there, but yet God inspired him to write this beautiful allegory of the Christian life. But he depicts it so well, hundreds of years ago, and he shows us the way that Jesus taught in the book of Matthew concerning the straight gate and the narrow way and his encounter of the broad way as he walked through life. But anyway, he had to get rid of the burden that was on his back. And he finally was able to get rid of that burden, which shows the repentance and the confession of sin that he laid aside and then was able to squeeze through the narrow entrance and enter into this way. But any of you, and I encourage all of you, to make it required reading for your children. After they are at the age of 10, I would say all of your children should read Pilgrim's Progress. The progress then, as he went on the way, I think one of the things that he soon encountered was Mount Sinai, a high hill onto the village of Morality. I think he had encountered that on the outside and saw that wasn't the way to go. But he came to what was called the Wicked Gate that would then have the doorway that he would, a small door where he would be able to enter in and experience salvation. But about as soon as he did this, he encountered a castle on the other side where people were shooting arrows at him. And this is the reality of the Christian life and experience. There are people many times that are not happy with our conversion. They do not like we leave the dead religion that we were brought up in. I was one of that. With 15 uncles and aunts and their marriage partners that were around me, I don't think any of them at all were happy with the choice that I made when I entered the gate and walked and began to walk the narrow way. Comments are made. Rejection is experienced. People look at you narrowly. What are you up to? Where are you going? What is happening to you? And many things like that. Arrows that come our way in our shadows. And I won't give all of them, but I especially had to think of some of the allurements of the broad way that he had as he walked the narrow way. I especially remember the valley of the shadow of death. I remember specifically Vanity Fair. I can never forget that. For somehow when he come up there, and there was the fair, the Vanity Fair, and all those things alluring him to come on in and to enjoy life and have fun. Yet today, where is the narrow way in the church so-called of Jesus Christ today? Multitudes are trying to claim and enter the gate that they have entered the gate, but they are in Vanity Fair, walking the broad way, the things that belong to the broad way. I can so appreciate my home in that way, though it was far from perfect, that my parents would have helped me and hedged me in We didn't go to the fairs. We went to the beaches a few times, and my father quit taking us there because of all the nakedness and all of the foolishness that went there. I remember, even at the beach and at the local fairs in New Holland and Ephrata to this day, there are opportunities, many of them, to gamble, to throw a ball or throw a ring or something, to take chances to try to win something and spend your money. I remember one time here in Ephrata of a story years ago. I remember so vividly, where a man thought he could outsmart and eventually win. And he kept going, and he kept going. And the thing was rigged in a way that you couldn't win very easily. And he finally was out of money. But he was so determined that he went home and got more money. And he came back again in the late hours of, lateness of the hour at Saturday night. And he played it yet again to determine he was going to win it. And finally, it was time to close. He had spent all his money, and he was so upset that he tried to get the authorities of in Ephrata here to declare that it would have been an illegal thing, and it was rigged, and it wasn't a fair game, and all of these things to try to get his money back. But I think he was finally had to hang his head and be duped in the gambling experience that he had. My parents would have taught me it's not good to gamble. And I am so grateful for that. The narrow road does not go gambling, does not do all this chance stuff out there to try to win this or win that. And I'm so grateful for it. The narrow way. Praise God. But Vanity Fair, are you free from Vanity Fair? Things that have no spiritual benefit. All they are is entertainment. And I think of the amusement parks. I remember some years ago how they kept going higher and higher and higher to give you a great thrill when you come down over some of the rides, until finally they made one 400 feet high, and there was a free fall of the buggies with the people screaming for about 350 or so until it slowed down toward the end. So the people hunger after vanity and after thrills, jumping off of bridges with a bungee cord tied to your feet, Christians starting to parachute jumping, and many other things because they want the thrill of life, they want the rush that it brings to them. But in my own experience, I somehow felt that those things they belonged on the Broadway. They were not conducive to my spiritual life. And I took a clear detour away from them and tried to live by God's grace and walk the narrow road where I would receive spiritual input and spiritual blessings and challenges and win souls and pass out tracts or preach or witness or testify or do other humanitarian things and so on for the sake of poor or the catastrophic experiences of hurricanes or earthquakes and so on. There I found satisfaction because I found them compatible on the narrow way, but not and tried to keep clear, steer clear, and detour from the broad way. And that's my experience to every one of you. Make those choices. Evaluate the way you're walking very carefully to see that it's not a detriment to your spiritual life, that it doesn't lead you down the wrong path, that it doesn't look for pleasure and enjoyment in life, rather than for sacrifice and cross-bearing and preaching and teaching the gospel and doing good and trying to help other people. Find the narrow way, find the narrow door, and enter into it, even though I have to tell you, you will not find many. You, especially in our day, I find it fewer and fewer. In the 90s, we had a lot of revival going on around the United States and Canada and other parts of the world. But in these last days, I tell you, it's hard to find a revival going. It's hard even to see churches have meetings and putting up tents and having clear gospel preaching. Compared to those days, I see the difference, and I see the situation a lot of times where it seems like we're on. I think a pilgrim, he's found a pillar of salt on the narrow way as he was walking toward the celestial city. I didn't mention that, but he knew he was on a path from that narrow gate, from the wicked gate, when he had unloaded his burden. He was looking for the celestial city, and he was aiming to get there. And all these things, Doubting Castle was there, and he found the pillar of salt, and referring to Lot's wife. And it was an individual who had, like Lot's wife, who had so many connections in the city of Sodom, that when the angels led him out there, her heart was still connected back there, and she looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. And that is, again, a warning for us. If you walk the narrow way, if you've entered in by the gate, never look back to your former life. Never look back to the pleasures you might have had that lasted for a moment or for a season. But keep pressing toward the celestial city. Keep walking the narrow way. Keep the commandments of God. Look to the scriptures to give you, make the straight paths for your feet, like I read in Proverbs there. Turn not to the right hand or to the left, and keep going forward. I also remember the enchanted ground that he encountered, and well, it so impressed me. He sat down to rest. He was weary, and that's true. We get weary sometimes of a path, and he did too. And he sat down on a bench in the enchanted ground, and he got so sleepy. He just wanted to fall asleep, and I think he encountered some others who were laying there sleeping away because they had gotten into the enchanted ground. And they had yielded and stopped the pursuit of the path to the celestial city and fell asleep there and didn't wake up, and that's where they were, and that's where they lived. And there are multitudes and multitudes of people who perhaps whatever they did when they thought they entered in by the gate, they got into the enchanted ground and it got drowsy and they fell asleep and their eyelids closed until somebody woke him up, his friend, and urged him, hey, don't go to sleep. Don't get weary of the trotting the path, the narrow way. And so he shook himself, I think it was, and woke himself up again and got up off of that bench that he was almost falling asleep on and headed on toward the celestial city. Finally, to cross the river of life at the end, which was the experience of death, as I remember just faintly in my mind, and then finally entering into the celestial city. Enter ye in at the straight gate. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction. Many, many there be which go in thereat. You know, there are times I think of the broad way, and I think, what are we talking about here? And I may have a bit of that in my notes elsewhere, but, you know, we might think of murderers and rapists and thieves the kind of people that are causing these riots and the things that are doing in some of our major cities. But some have said already and suggested, even though there are only two ways, that we must understand that the broad way is just a bit off of the narrow way. And sometimes it may seem like it's not that bad and not that far over there. But nevertheless, it is still the broad way. and it leads to destruction and will take us to hell if we do not stay on the narrow way and appreciate the narrow way. Church life is part of the narrow way if it's a good Christian church. Christian homes, Christian education, good Christian conduct, hard work, honest livelihood. Many of those things are truly compatible for the narrow way. Instead of the broad way, you want to get rich quick or try to get a lot of money that you didn't earn. Those things belong on the broad way, not the narrow way. Ephesians chapter 2 says, "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past," or our walk of life, "in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he has loved us." That is a great contrast. Yeah, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one, in himself of his own way. But God is able to bring us through that narrow gate and all peel off all these things of the old man and his sin, and now help us to walk through the power of the Word and the Holy Spirit the narrow, straight and narrow way. Proverbs 9:6 says, "Forsake the foolish and live and go in the way of understanding." You know, there are only two categories of people in the world. It's hard for us to believe. Sometimes we just think there has to be a third or fourth category in there somewhere. But the Bible teaches there are only two categories of people in the world. There are those who believe and those that believe not. I appreciate when people use that he's a believer or he's an unbeliever. He's not a believer. I like those words. Some of the other countries I've gone to, they use that quite a bit. One of the challenges I remember that came out of the Russian-German friends of mine was the simple question, are you walking the narrow way? Or they would refer to people who backslid and went the wrong way. They'd say, he didn't walk the narrow way anymore. He stopped walking the narrow way. So there are only two categories of people in the world. Those who believe and are the friends of God and the children of God, and those who believe not and are the enemies of the gospel. Jesus said, either you're with me or you're against me. Make your choice. Again, reflecting what is so clearly brought out this morning already so much. Make your choice as to whether you're going to be with the Lord Jesus or against him. Those who are with him are fully committed to the true gospel as revealed in Scripture. And those who are against him, they may come in endless religious forms of all kinds, but they are not. I appreciate one of the brethren sharing with me already this morning about a communication that he had with a man that he was with. And he didn't understand anything. It just seems that whatever scripture was quoted or whatever was said concerning truth or Christianity just went over his head. So ignorant and not understanding the clarity of the simple gospel message. God help us to walk the narrow way. You know, when I look at the Sermon on the Mount, and it's so concise, it's so clear. But he starts out in chapter 5, blessed are the poor in spirit. And they can enter the kingdom of heaven. That was absolutely the opposite of Judaism. The Jews, they were rich. They had a beautiful temple there in the middle of Jerusalem where they gathered for their Passover every year. And they had the Sanhedrin, they had the schools, they had the priests and the Levites and the scribes and the Pharisees and all those things that they had. They were descendants of Abraham and they thought they were Abraham's children and all that. So there was a pride, a Jewish pride that permeated the Jewish nation at that time. And here comes this man out of heaven and says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those that mourn. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. And he just turned their world upside down and brought them back to the simplicity of the gospel. And let us never lose that simplicity for ourselves and our people and our children. Blessed are the poor in spirit. We're not going to make it on our own. We can't do it by ourselves. We can't just go to church and expect they will somehow save our souls for us. I remember years ago when men were saying to their pastor or to their preacher, now we expect you to get us to heaven. That's what we're paying you for. And we expect that you'll get us there. But that will never work. It is a private and personal decision for everyone that they must make. You have to hunger and thirst after righteousness. You have to seek for the door. You have to answer the door even when Jesus knocks on your door, like is described in various parts of the scripture. Jesus said, except your righteousness exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees, there's no way that you'll be able to enter heaven, enter the kingdom of heaven. You must enter the gate alone. You cannot grab a hold of the coattail of your father or your mother and ask them to take you along to heaven somehow. You cannot expect the church to take you along. You can't expect any of your family or your relatives that somehow we'll all get there together because my dad is a godly man, or I have a praying mother. No. You must answer the door, enter into the door, and walk the way by yourself, alone. That's why Pilgrim, I looked up on the internet a little bit about Pilgrim's Progress, just as I was trying to recollect some of these points that made there, and the language of the comments concerning him. They cursed him. They spoke evil of him because of the different things that he so clearly laid out that Christians must do or that men and women must do in order to be saved. People don't want to hear that message today. They want an easy way. They want to raise their hand at a meeting sometime and then just run through the baptism or whatever, and then they are expected to go to heaven and yet told they can't even ever be lost again. Imagine the deception that false preachers and teachers are selling to the people. You cannot be carried along with someone else. You can't go with the crowd. You can't run with the crowd. That happens over in the Broadway. We have to. They go through a broad door. I have to think of some of the meetings I've been in when there were large meetings and they have broad doors, you could walk through the door and you didn't even know you were going through the door. It was so easy. But the Christian life is not that way. It is a narrow door. It is hemmed in closely. And we must unload our burden of sin on our backs in order to get through by repentance and confession. He who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He who doesn't take up his cross after me, he is not worthy of me. He who has found his life are going to lose it. But those who are going to lose their life for my sake are able to find it. If a man come after me, let him deny himself and come and follow me. The way is narrow, brothers and sisters. The way is narrow, and few there be that find it. Accept that fact, that my cousins may not make it, that my uncles and aunts are not Christian, that I had a grandfather and a grandmother who were not believers. Accept the fact that some of my siblings have veered off and are walking the broad way today. That is the reality of life that we must live with. And they are going the broad way. They are divorced and remarried. They are living together in fornication outside of wedlock. And they are doing it boldly. They're on the broad way, not the narrow way. Even claim to be LGBT, whatever type of people, perverted, and still claim that they are Christians and on their way to heaven. Few there be that find it, because the narrow way is small. And yet there are so many selling tickets on the broad road today. In Luke 13:24, in the parallel scripture, it says there, strive to enter in. The word means agonize, press into it. There's another scripture that says, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, Matthew 11:12, and the violent take it by force. I seek it with all my heart. I'm willing to forsake whatever is hindering me. I want to get through that door. I want to walk the narrow way. Walk the narrow way. And on the contrast, we know that the gate is wide and the way is destruction. And that word there does not mean annihilation. It means that though it leads to destruction, it means eternal destruction, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched, where the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they are cast into the lake of fire. Today, people are seeking a way to live any way they want. You can have it your way, as they say, but it is the broad way that is on. Huge crowds of people are on this road thinking that it leads to heaven, only to find out that it leads to hell. It's interesting, because of my knowledge of people here in the county, I occasionally look up the obituaries. So often find people, relatives of mine, and find out they have passed on, or former acquaintances, especially so at my age, only to find out that in most every obituary, they went into the arms of Jesus. They went to heaven. If you listen to them in the Lancaster newspaper, it would appear that the broad way is all going to heaven. But it's a lie. It's not true. It's the narrow way, and only few of the obituaries will find their way in heaven. What will be with us? Also, in this Sermon on the Mount that I read, is by their fruits you shall know them. Always examine the fruits to determine what path that men are on. If they don't have the fruit, don't accept the fact that they died and went to heaven. If their life doesn't manifest true Christian virtue, godliness, purity, humility, and love, they did not walk the narrow way. They walked the broad way. So you have two ways. You have the broad way, many, many people on it. That's where the popular crowd is today, the broad way and the narrow way. That's what we have to make our choices. Only two ways. There are only two ways in this our time, the broad way and the narrow way. Thirdly, I want to mention too that there are only two destinations. The broad way leads to hell, and the narrow way leads to life. All eternity in will result where there's no more remorse, suffering, emptiness, or any such thing, but there is reality. No more tears, no more suffering, no more pain. That is the celestial city, streets of gold, peace and tranquility, love that knows no end. And our Lord Jesus being there, that we can finally thank and embrace in person for allowing us, calling us to enter into that gate. And so that is my plea. Enter in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many there go, which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. We talk, as I mentioned a little bit before, in closing I want to mention the privileges we have. And I see the youth of today are throwing it into the trash can. The privilege we have to have lived in America, where the gospel was preached. I personally, so privileged that I was able to hear the gospel in my youth at a revival meeting. Many a third world country knows nothing of such a meeting, or even a Bible that they could find the straight gate and the narrow way. We are the most privileged people. Bibles abound all over our houses. Literature everywhere. Everywhere. And the opportunity, we've got an education. Sitting here, we're learning to read in first grade. And second for sure. And are able soon to read the book, the great book of God, and learn what the requirements of God are, and read the Sermon on the Mount. We are a privileged people. We are privileged to have effort a Christian fellowship. I consider it incredibly privileged to be a part of this church and this fellowship. And the opportunity and the open door that God has given us to dwell together and unite our hearts together in the fear of God. I thank God. I could stand up black, red, yellow, white, doesn't matter to me. Those who have the opportunity to have the gospel and be a part of a living organism, the Church of Jesus Christ, are some of the most privileged people on the face of the earth. You could have been born in a third world country with no gospel, not enough of food, walking 2 miles to get your water to drink. And we don't accept and appreciate the privileges given us. Shame on us. Shame on us. I was privileged for all that my parents put into me. I was privileged for the Bible school and what it put into me. I was privileged by the youth group I was with and some of more mature men that put into my life when I was so young, 16 years of age, and began to associate with them. On and on I could go as I recognize the great privilege of life that we have. And let me tell you, when I hear the riots going on today, I think we are privileged to be in a plain community. I don't know how many of you appreciate your neighbors and your acquaintances around you that are not out to plunder and accuse you of racism or are enemies of the church and so on. But I have to say, even though I don't want any pride in the fact that God has so arranged it, but I think we are privileged to be in a Plain community. There are so many. The food we have to eat, the clothing we have to wear. I so appreciate the standard of modesty that is here in this congregation and among so many of God's people around us and our acquaintance. So many are departing and they're dressing like the Broadway. And you meet them after having known them 15, 20 years ago, and you hardly know them anymore. And it's so evident that they're now walking the Broadway. They have left the narrow way, and they look like they belong to the Broadway. And I believe they have. Going to the pleasure spots of the world, going to the naked beaches around the country, looking for pleasure, looking for thrill, looking for enjoyment from the Broadway. Don't be tempted, don't be attracted by the Broadway. You'll get to be my age if God spares you that long, and you look back on your life, and even whether you've walked it or not, many of those are confessing in their older age, we missed it. We went the wrong way. I made wrong choices in life. There are many who have confessed that, but not enough. Some are going on and thinking they'll have friends in hell and so on, but they will not have friends in hell. It's a place of outer darkness, and how can you have friends in outer darkness? Or in so much pain and misery that there's absolutely no rest, day nor night, and no enjoyment. Take my warning this morning, and don't go the broad way that leads unto destruction. Don't be tempted. It's not going to come out right. Look at all the acquaintances we have who have went over on the Broadway. And now they're broken homes and they're just young married and they're separated. Or they have children out of wedlock and they're supporting them and yet not living with them. And many other miseries that they have. God have mercy on them, and yet they're so stubborn that they do not come back and confess their failure and enter in again on the narrow way. So, enter in at the straight gate. Wide is the gate. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way. It's a gate and a way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Thank you, and God bless you.
He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And I think the question that comes home to my heart is, what am I going to do with this message God's given to us today? We all live in time. We heard from all three brothers today about the choices that we have the opportunity to make because we live in time. We're all here today. We're alive. God has given us life and breath. Those choices are going to go one of two ways. And I wrote the narrow way small on purpose. Some of you in the back can maybe hardly read it. The broad way is big, and it calls to us loudly, as Brother Mose so clearly laid out to us. But the choices that I make today in life and tomorrow are the ones that are going to determine which way I'm on. And then, no matter which way you choose, you're going to meet a destiny. Eternity is coming, and it's waiting for all of us, and we're going to find it. And the choices we've made in life will determine that destiny. Can the message be any clearer, brothers and sisters? There's so much that I could say, but I feel like we just need to take some time and quiet our hearts before God and consider what He wants to say to us out of the things we've heard here today. I do want to open it up and give you an opportunity to share, but I think before we do that, it would just be fitting for us to take a minute or two or three and just bow our heads here in complete quietness, silence before God, and just pray and talk to God a bit about the things that we've heard and maybe things that we feel He wants us to do out of this, and just spend some time here communing with God in silence. Let's do that. Father, this morning I thank You for this sacred and powerful word that You have brought to our hearts. Lord, I know that You meant it for our ears today. And I know, Father, that each one of us has things that we can take away from today that You would desire us to make commitments in. And I pray that You will bless this word to our hearts. Thank You for it, God, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, what would you like to add? I know when Jesus took Peter, James, and John to the mountain, and in the event that we know as the Transfiguration, where Jesus was transfigured into His spiritual figure, and it says the glory of God shone from His face, Peter's reaction after that was, God, it's good for us to be here. Can we build a tabernacle? Maybe your heart feels that way this morning, but I believe that God wants us not just to build a tabernacle here today in our hearts, but to purpose how we're going to live tomorrow and throughout this coming week, how we're going to live in relation to all of these people about us. Moses spoke of so many things this morning that we all need to relate to: our families, other churches, our neighbors and friends. How can we relate to them in grace and yet maintain our hearts in that narrow way and be faithful? All those things. So perhaps you have some things you'd like to share or confess or add, whatever. Who has some thoughts? Just raise your hand. We'll get a mic to you. Up front here, Brother Galen.
Yes, amen. It's been good to be here and to ponder what we've heard. I think of three scriptures that tie in closely with the things Moses was talking about. He already mentioned one, Luke 13:24, the parallel passage. It says, "Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in." And the last part is unusual. Mm-hmm. It will seek to enter in and shall not be able.
Right.
And I'm not quite sure what all that is, but there is something about you spend time on the Broadway, and you don't know when you will have gone too far until it's too late to realize that you no longer have the sensitivity to righteousness and godliness that you used to have. And there's something about sin that impairs that ability. And Adam and Eve, they would never have eaten that apple, probably, if they had realized what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. But once they took the bite, it was too late. It was too late. It impairs the ability to come back to where you were. There's the straight and narrow and the wide and easy. If I may, in conjunction with what it says in Revelation, there's a third way also. It's the half and half, or the lukewarm. The thing is, if you go lukewarm, half and half, you're trying to get the best of both of them, and you won't get the best of either of them probably in the end. You'll get cut short. You'll have a foot on the boat and a foot on the dock, and you'll go down. Luke 18:25 is interesting, for it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. That's how narrow the narrow way is.
Amen. Thank you. And I do fear people who attempt to take that middle road there, as Brother Galen said. And there are people, many today, who attempt that. But I'm afraid that road nearly always, if not always, ends in the broad way. Because that's just the way the flesh takes you. You cannot be lukewarm. You cannot be halfway. Who else? Brother Ephraim?
One of the words that stuck with me, and just continue to think about it, and Brother Stanley used it in the opening, is the word intentional. Mm-hmm. And just to think about that, and what does it mean, and how to walk a life of being intentional, not just haphazard, not just whatever happens to be, and also being intentional in what. I thought about the psalm, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. So whatever I'm intentional in doing, the choices I make, make sure that it's something that God is going to be in it. Amen. Because if He's not, it's going to be a waste.
Yep.
And Brother Mose mentioned this scripture in Isaiah 35. My mind was on it before he mentioned it. And highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, the fools shall not err therein. And looking at different translations, I've tried to find out what the ending of the verse there really is saying. Some of the translations give it that fools will not just happen on it. It's not, nobody's going to be on that highway of holiness just by chance, or just because you happened to come along. You were just out wandering around, and somehow you stumbled on it, and there you are. It's not going to happen. You're going to have to be intentional. If you ever get on it, you're going to be there because you purposed to be there.
That's right.
You're not going to be, just happen to be born into the right family, or into the right church, or somebody baptized you when you're a baby and you didn't have a choice in it.
Yep.
It's not going to do anything of good. You have to purpose to be there.
That's right. Yeah, amen. That's well said, and I think that's one of the powerful aspects of that Pilgrim's Progress story. I think it makes it clear from beginning to end that that narrow way is not default. It never will be. It is intentional, and sometimes it's hard. Many times it's hard. Thank you for that. Any others? Galen's perking since the rest of you aren't.
Wasn't sure if I should add this or not, but some of the rest of the chapter here in Matthew 7, the beware of the false prophets and test their fruit. I'm going to read this out of a different version because there's a flavor that comes out here that I think is significant. You will know them by their fruits. So every sound tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears evil fruit. It's interesting. It doesn't say the evil tree bears evil fruit, or the bad tree bears bad fruit. But the bad tree bears something much worse. Evil fruit.
Interesting.
Yeah. And also it's interesting about the two men who built their houses. They both heard the word.
Yep.
They both built. They both were tested.
That's right.
But only one made it through the test.
That's right. Brother Harold?
I see the words in large eternity, and I think about the first message on time, the second children's message on the matter of the brevity and uncertainty of life, and Brother Moses' message of the two ways. And I thought about a gospel sign I saw when I was a boy going to church every time I went to Landisville. This is what it said: if every living person knew what every parting soul discovers, everyone would be saved today.
That's right.
We would choose the narrow way.
Yep.
Jesus says, come, come, come.
That's right. When Jesus talks about weeping and gnashing of teeth that will be from those who discover, what do you think causes that? So true. If every living soul knew what every dying soul discovers, we'd be believers. We would. Anyone else? Up here, Grandma Rachel.
All I can say is amen. And I want to follow that narrow road and ask the Lord to help me to do that.
Amen.
I actually wanted to share a little bit about the terrible tragedy that happened in Canada at a colony. And I was thinking about the children's lesson that Nate had here. I don't believe those girls thought they'd end up that way.
Mm-hmm.
But old and young are in the same. Mm-hmm. But the saddest thing is they can't find the last one, the third
mm-hmm.
one. The,
mm-hmm.
And it could be worse. There was actually 11 there that taped over.
Mm-hmm.
It's just terribly sad. They need our prayers.
Mm-hmm.
They can't find the last one.
And they drowned, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They were boating?
Yeah. Huh?
They were boating?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a river running through their place, and I guess that's what they've always been
mm-hmm.
doing.
Mm-hmm.
But this time of the year, I don't know what happened to those children that they wanted to go on that river. It's terribly
mm-hmm.
swift and my.
Mm-hmm.
It's terribly sad.
Mm-hmm. It is very sad.
Yeah.
And it's one of those situations that I wish every young person could realize when we're young. And I remember what it felt like. You know, life is in front of you. Let's enjoy life. It just feels like death feels so far away. But we do not know. And that's a case in point that brings it out so clearly. I guarantee you, too, those four girls had no idea that today would be the day. I remember distinctly when I was a young man and I had some friends that were, I worked with some young men that were part of a Mennonite church locally, but they were not living for God. And their joy was their weekends and their fast cars and the illegal drag racing they could do on weekends. And there was a little gas station up there that was known as the hangout where these guys could meet up on Saturday night. And that kind of thing went on. And I'll never forget the Saturday night when one of them, right, racing his Mustang up Route 501 at high speeds, I don't know, 90 or 100 miles an hour, lost control, hit a tree, and he was gone. Never left me. He didn't intend to die that day. None of us do. But when we're making choices, to land us on the broad way, it's just dangerous. So let's take those lessons, young and old. It doesn't matter. We're here today, brothers and sisters. We've got chances. But let's take those lessons. Let's take those reminders. Thank God for this. This was a good day. And I pray and trust that every one of us can take away from today a serious and sober reminder of how we're going to use our moments going forward tomorrow. And I know there's a lot of excited boys and fathers, I believe, about this camping trip, and you'll be swimming and maybe doing some canoeing and all these things. And, you know, it's possible that any of us could face our destiny. I hope not. But as we go and give ourselves to these things, let's make sure that our hearts are engaging with each other and God in an upbuilding way, that it can be something that we can know we're on that narrow way. And I believe it's possible for us to intentionally live that way.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll free at 855-557-7902. Or write to us at Ephrata Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.